Hello, you're listening to the Making Tracks podcast, a podcast about songwriting, production and the music industry, brought to you by Access Music Production CIC in collaboration with the Glasshouse International Centre for Music. Hello, welcome to the Making Tracks podcast. I'm Lisa Murphy and today I'm sitting down with Claire Dupree from Narc magazine. Hi Claire.
Hello.
Hiya, thanks for doing this for us. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Narc and how it plays an integral role to the Northeast music scene supporting artists. I'm going to ask you some questions about how you feel that artists can approach promoting themselves and their music. So let's just get straight into it. First, a little bit about Narc. Let's just do a little bit of background. So it's a local art, music and culture magazine. Can you tell us just a little bit about how it started and how it's grown over the years?
Yeah, so it's 17 years this year, 2023. So that makes me feel really old. Thanks. It's pretty well established, and really it was set up because I didn't really feel that the local press at the time had very much a focus on the local music scene, on emerging artists, on unsigned bands, and I could see so much good stuff going on, and wondered why nobody was really talking about it. So I decided to start talking about it, basically. So it's always really been the bread and butter, is about unsigned artists, and or at least grassroots artists doing stuff in the Northeast.
So talking about grassroots artists, one of my first questions was going to be, how important do you think it is for an artist to connect with their local scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think a community, really, the Northeast music scene, we are a community. And I have a really firm belief that music isn't a competition and shouldn't be something that, people pit each other against, in the region. And anything that strengthens, the cultural output in the Northeast is really positive. And, I think the musicians and the artists in the region, they're so widespread. There's so much, there's so many genres, there's so much going on, and people don't really often know how interesting stuff is. So I definitely think that we should shine a light on that.
Thinking about first impressions then. So an artist or an emerging artist is like, let's say they're putting together the first single. Kind of talking from my experience as a producer, I find that artists you work with don't necessarily know where to start. So they don't know how to promote themselves or get people to know about their gigs or just get to know about them. So I think sometimes they kind of stumble through, how to go about that. So obviously I want to ask you, what's your advice to an artist? But I also want to ask you, how important is the first impression that an artist makes? Because, that kind of stumbling into it.
Yeah.
Could that even be damaging, kind of getting it wrong?
Not with me, because, I understand from an artist's perspective, how confusing and weird it is to sort of start. At the end of the day, musicians are creatives and they're not necessarily thinking about the business side. So once they've got the music down, they're just excited to get it out. And I totally get that. And that's, that's completely fair enough. And, your fans are the first thing you think of. But just taking a little step back and thinking, hang on a minute, let's wait and tell the most amount of people we possibly can that this is a cool thing. And it just gives you a little bit of an extra edge and, could get you more fans. So, artists approach me all the time. Hi, I've got a song. And I'm like, great.
Is that all they say?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, but like you say, they're brand new or they don't really know, how the sort of the industry side of things work. So I do like to walk people through it. And I will, ask them, when's it coming out? And our sort of general rules about how and when we cover music. And I, explain the sorts of things that we need. And, we like to have a bit of information. Doesn't have to be a fancy press release, but just like a paragraph, who are you? Where'd you come from? That kind of stuff. What sort of music you're making, that sort of thing. Finished music is the most important thing. So
finished music. So do people send you works in progress, if you like?
Well, often it'll be like unmastered or unmixed stuff, or, I've got some coming out in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, great. So send it to me. Have you got it? No, we haven't got it. It's still being recorded. I'm like, well, it's not finished then.
Yeah. So you need finished work.
Finished work. Completely
and two
finished.
Weeks, that sounds quite...
Not enough
That's
time.
Not enough, is it? No. So what would you say then? What's the kind of lead-in time so that people can really maximise getting people to hear about it, the lead up, the campaign leading up to the release?
About 8 to 6 weeks is our preference. So because obviously we're printed and we're monthly, so we have, you know, we work at least 8 weeks ahead, and we have limited space for reviews and that kind of thing. So when we're full, and there's not much we can do about that in the magazine. There's always options online, but the magazine is about 8 to 6 weeks. So I suggest that you finish the music, have everything completely ready, and then set your release date 8 weeks after that.
Right.
Our issue is that obviously if you're releasing your single at the beginning of April or at the end of April, it doesn't really matter. We need 8 weeks notice in advance of the month of April.
Very good point. Yeah.
So, yeah. So sometimes that trips people up. But otherwise, there is always, you know, a web option. But in general, about 8 weeks. And then you kind of want to make sure that you've got finished music. You want a press release or just some basic info, photographs, artwork, that kind of stuff. I mean, some of those things I can wait for. And go back to your previous question about, you know, making mistakes. I don't really mind, you know, if someone says, oh, well, I haven't got any pictures, I haven't thought of that yet. That's okay. I've got a bit of time. The most important thing is the music and knowing that I've got a space in that mag for you. And, you know, if I have to wait for a couple of things, that's okay. And I would rather people made that mistake with me and then know for future, right, when I've got a contact, you know, the line of best fit, they need a bit more information. They need it all in the right place at the right time. So I'm happy to, you know, be the guinea pig if necessary.
Well, that's about you supporting your local scene, yeah, as well, isn't it?
Totally.
You know, trying to make sure that these emerging artists do get, you know, that advice early on, because they don't know. I think it's true that just because you've learned about your craft in terms of your songwriting or recording, you know, I can talk about from the recording perspective how people don't necessarily know the approach to that, for example. But then you've got this thing, you know, you don't necessarily know the next stage or what is needed to push it. So you're saying, kind of to recap, the finished music, a paragraph or something about the artist, where they're from, maybe what inspires them, you know, get some info about the person, about the song even.
Yeah, like just a bit of a hook.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know, intrigue me. I want to read about the artist's inspiration and the sorts of things they're writing about. And if I read something that's particularly interesting that, you know, sort of catches my eye or that I think, you know, our readers might really engage with, then that might be the thing that elevates you from a single review to an interview or to a larger feature. And, you know, including things like gigs and festivals or, you know, whatever things that are coming up, anything you're working on in the future. We like to see a bit of a progression with an artist. So, you know, we would perhaps review a single and then maybe we, you know, graduate up to a feature on the website, and then we might do something larger in the magazine. So if they're working towards a larger release, like an EP, or, you know, other things are happening, then we can kind of help them to plot a bit of a route through our pages.
That's really helpful. Because, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you was about momentum. Mm. Because I feel a little bit like, sometimes there's a big push at the beginning with music. People have something ready, they've recorded a few songs, you know, and then sometimes I think they go, what next? You know, because how many times can you bug the same people and go, please, please interview me, please put something, you know, what should they do? Because if they've had one review or, you know, I suppose you were saying there that you could go into more depth and do an interview. Mm. Like, what would you suggest people do to try and keep the momentum in terms of being in the pages of the magazine, on the website, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we probably try deliberately not to cover people too often because, you know, you don't want to cover the same artist over and over again. And there are people who are just really good at this sort of stuff. And, you know, they would just be in the magazine all the time. And nobody wants to, you know, read about the same people. But, you know, there are loads of different ways. And there are for us and there will be for other publications. You know, do a bit of research. And I think research is really key because, you know, we cover all genres of music. But, you know, you might, if you're a folk band, don't send your music to a metal website. You know, just make sure that you understand the sort of outlet that you're looking for, and note the things they do. So obviously we have a printed magazine, but we also have lots of web stuff too, and then an increasing focus on it as well. So, you know, in future you might have a video or you might have a larger release or even just another single that you could suggest. Oh, well, I quite like that feature that you do on your website about, you know, my favorite five, whatever it is, you know, the increasingly weirder the better, actually. Top five emojis was one of my favorite.
Be weird, yes.
Yeah, be weird. But say something different, for goodness sake. So, yeah, you know, I like that feature you do on that website. Or, you know, I've got a video. Can we have an exclusive? Or I like this thing you do here. Can we do that? And chances are we're going to say yes. You know, if you hit more or less our deadline, and there's no good reason to say no. So we are a bit of an anomaly when it comes to that, I've got to say.
That's brilliant advice. I mean, so that's like, you know, do something different, yeah. like do something that's interesting. Show us what, you know, something that we can get our readers interested in. Yeah. Tell us something about yourself. What about beyond contacting your local music magazines and local arts and culture websites and magazines? Where else should an artist be going with their release? Do you think blogs, or should, you know, should they be focusing on their YouTube? You know, if somebody came to you and said, your advice as somebody in your position, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're obviously regional, so we only cover stuff in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. There's going to be plenty more of those. So particularly if you're touring, that's a good option. Look for the local NARC in your local sort of in Manchester or in Leeds or wherever it is you are. Printed media is few and far between, I have to say, but, you know, there will be blogs and websites. So definitely that needs to come as part of your, you know, tour campaign if you're going to do that. Obviously local radio, BBC Introducing, mm-hmm. Any other sort of, you know, local community radio is always worth a play. You know, people are listening. National blogs, international blogs. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those hit and hope kind of situations. You know, find the email addresses, send a nice polite email, do a little follow-up and cross your fingers.
Do a follow-up. Okay, there's one. How many times should you follow something up, really? Like, is it beneficial to occasionally give a nudge?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't really mind. If it's within the means for us to be able to cover it, then yeah, I'm quite happy. And, you know, I kind of like to see musicians being passionate about what they're doing. It's a little frustrating sometimes when someone will go, here's all the things, and they send you all the things and you don't have, you know, something that you need. You don't have a photograph, you don't have a website, whatever. So I'll respond and ask them for that information, and then I just get blanked and you're like, well, I'm doing you a favor.
You can't do all
give me the things I need. And I think that's probably the key thing, really, just treating the journalist as though, you know, they're too lazy to go out and Google. Give them everything they need, because you're far more likely to get something when people don't have to do a great deal. You know, the music is the most important thing, and we're there to review music. If we've got to, you know, search Facebook and YouTube and, you know, Google you to find out where you're based or, you know, what sort of stuff you're doing, that's just an added barrier. Like I say, we do it because it's our job to do that, but, you know, for larger blogs or magazines or websites, they might not want to do that.
True. I mean, how important do you think social media is with all this? I mean, you've just said there, you know, it shouldn't really be your responsibility to be trawling around trying to find out the information that an artist should have presented to you about their release or about themselves. But do you sometimes, you know, do you actually go on social media sometimes and go, I'll just have a look how many followers this person has or what they're talking about with their music?
No, I don't care about followers. But I mean, mainly because I don't really think that it's important to me as a journalist to know or to care how many followers they've got. If the music stands up for itself, that's all I really care about. You know, social media is, as far as I'm concerned, is for fans. And obviously it is really important to get as many fans as you can. But to me, it doesn't really matter to me. But again, we're an anomaly. We are existing to shout about the bands that nobody else has heard of or that are brand new. So that's, you know, potentially why that's the way I feel about it. But I think one of the other things that bands could sort of do, you know, kind of make a point of doing is being varied with their social media content, you know, creating interesting stuff, even if it's a bit daft or, you know, a bit strange, just something that is, yeah, just set themselves out aside from everybody else. A mixed media, so, you know, video, sound, pictures, little bits of, you know, chat, just kind of keeping things light and entertaining, but at the same time not having too much pressure to feel like you're like on it all the time, because, you know, mental health wise social media is not fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there could be a lot of pressure on artists, can't there, to try and be covering all of these things. So you're saying basically have some mixed different things out there that people can find, so if they look for you, they find something, and hopefully it's something a bit interesting, and they can kind of come along on the journey with you. And keep your momentum going at a pace that suits both your kind of the music you're making, I suppose, but also that it isn't silly in the sense that you're like taking up all your time. Because as you say, mental health, it's very important, isn't it? Think about like taking some time to kind of just, I don't know, for yourself, to make sure that you're doing this at your pace and it's not kind of taken over, because marketing, it can be a massive thing for a musician.
Really,
and you're not, and it's not like all musicians are made with these business heads, as you said before. A couple more questions that are kind of popped into my head. Well, I've had lots of artists ask me this question. I don't know, because I don't do marketing. Should they have a budget for marketing? Because, you know, a lot of artists, they're like, how much does it cost to make this record? Mm. But they're not necessarily going, how much does it cost to promote this record? Yeah. So in your opinion, should an artist be thinking about having a budget?
It depends on what they want to spend it on. I mean, there's a industry-wide problem with payola, I think, in every walk of life, and it certainly happens within printed media. We would never, ever ask a band for money in return for any sort of coverage whatsoever.
Interesting.
And like, never. And I would actually very rarely agree to take an advert off of a musician when that's a, you know, a bog standard, you know, it's a quarter page, it's very clearly been paid for, you know, it's a transparent thing. I deter musicians from doing that, just because I don't really believe that they should have to pay for that. You know, we're there to serve them, not the other way around. We can't exist without musicians because we need their music to write about. Mm-hmm. So for that sort of thing, no. Then there's the thing about getting on Spotify playlists, and, you know, there's reviews of, you know, you can, you know, there's like, was it Submit Hub or something?
You can get people to listen to music and give you feedback for different reasons.
Yeah. And, you know, if that's important to you, then fine. I think to go into these things with your eyes wide open and to understand that someone is reviewing you because they're getting 10 quid or whatever it might be, I take everything with a pinch of salt and, you know, ask yourself how realistic it is if that's actually going to get you anywhere, if you're going to feel any satisfaction from that. And if you feel you will, then that's your decision. But I think from a marketing point of view, your money is probably better spent on printing some posters, getting your name out and about, you know, make some merch, you know, that kind of thing. I definitely don't think that artists should be thinking about spending money on, you know, adverts for their article, you know, or certainly not paying for articles. That's just a very ethical, like, bad point. No. And the whole Spotify thing, it's a bit ick, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather people didn't do it.
The question is, if you pay for people to listen to you, are they engaged followers and listeners? Exactly. Or are they passively listening to you? Yeah. And as you said before, if somebody's reviewing something because they're getting paid to review it, you know, it's got to be about what value that holds for the artist.
Yeah.
But there is a need to have perhaps some money placed well, perhaps, like, on some things. Yeah. So maybe that's about maybe the artwork or the video, do you think? What do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, photography is really important. I think people sort of misunderstand how important image is, particularly for us in a printed magazine. You know, people will see you before they hear you because it's a printed magazine.
Yeah.
So, you know, for us, we choose the most interesting, exciting images because we want to draw our reader's eye to the page. So thinking in a sort of cold, hard way, if you can get a really interesting image, you might end up getting more space on that page because you look interesting. Spending money with a local photographer would be a really good use of money. Using a local videographer to make a cool video. Artwork again, something unusual or interesting, although it's worth bearing in mind that's probably not going to get seen as much as your photograph will. You know, if you're going to spend anything, spend it on photography.
And maybe the graphic design perhaps of how that's presented, if it's the single cover, for example.
But also, you know, bands shouldn't feel hamstrung by money. I think there's a lot of this stuff you can do yourself, and the whole press thing, you know, especially for new artists, there's really no need to go out and get a press agent, and, you know, these things cost like literally thousands of pounds. It's really expensive, and you can do it yourself. You know, it's perfectly possible to do on your own. You can take, you know, you can get a mate to take a picture on an iPhone or an Android phone, and it'll be absolutely fine for print. Just make sure it's high resolution, for goodness sake. But, you know, you can do these things yourself. It might take a little bit of trial and error and a little bit more time, but, you know, you can do it.
So much really, really useful information. Thanks so much for your time. Are there any other top tips you want to add before we kind of close up?
My top tip would be, make sure your music is never more than one click away anywhere that you are. So if I go
that's
on,
a brilliant tip.
If I go on Facebook, make sure that the link that's at the side is to Spotify or to YouTube, or even better, to like a Linktree or something where I can find them all. Like, just never more than one click. Just remember how lazy people are. Not just me, but everybody else. And I'm not lazy, but you know what I mean?
No, but it's so true, isn't it? You don't want to click on this to go through that, to scroll through a website to try and find something. You want it to be, you know, if quite immediate, don't you? So that is a brilliant tip. Brilliant.
Thank you
so much for your time. If you want to pick up a copy of Nart magazine, it's available in over 200 outlets across the Northeast. So from coffee shops to music venues, it's everywhere. So if you go on the Nart magazine website, nartmagazine.com, you'll find a full list of places where it's available. Also, if you visit Nart magazine online, you'll be able to view the online content. So that includes Nart TV and the monthly e-zine. And that's all at nartmagazine.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again for another episode of the podcast very soon.